this week, and I'm so thankful for where we are and what we get to experience going ahead. Today, I think it's very fitting that we are continuing in our series on hope, because in a moment like this, in a transitional moment, we need to know there's hope that sustains us. There's hope that works in us, and where we go today is on Easter Sunday was hope eternal. The last 2 weeks we were hope internal. Today we go hope external. And so we're going to be in John chapter 17. John is one of the four books that tells the story of Jesus' life here on earth. It opens what's called the New Testament. And if you're here today and you do not have a Bible, we want to make sure that you leave with one. We want that to change. So we have free Bibles in the back that are available for you. And I was listening to someone tell about their first experience getting familiar with the Bible. And happened to be a comedian, but he was saying, "Did you know Jesus gets killed 4 times? And I was like, that's actually so helpful, because he read Matthew and Jesus dies. And then he read Mark, the book that comes after Matthew in the Bible, and Jesus dies. And then he read Luke and Jesus dies. And then he read John, and guess what happens? Jesus dies. All one story from 4 perspectives, okay? So we're going to be in one of those perspectives today, the book of John. And I just want you to know, we can celebrate hope in our community, because it's not just a private personal faith that's me and God and I'm good. But when we are captured by the love of Jesus, when we are captured by the mission of Jesus, when we understand eternity is secure, and then God begins to dig deep and just transform my interior, there is no option in following Jesus but to then bear the fruit, the good news of hope external. That our outward expression of our life displays a hope that is anchoring and securing our interior. And for me personally, this sermon series has been impacting me in a way that I feel like God's been reminding me of things, reminding me of my journey that's now decades of following Him. Decades. And as I've been walking through the scriptures and I've been thinking about our need for hope, I've been renewed, not just in this eternal work of God that everything is going to be made right. Everything will be made right. But Jesus lovingly says suffering is real. Jesus lovingly says storms will pound on us. And the fruit of that pounding is a hope secure in Him and Him alone. So I've been reflecting on just Jesus, the rescuer of my soul. Jesus raised to life so I could be free. Grateful that even in this last year, God's just decided to do deeper work in me, that I could experience more freedom. And it really just stirs my hope for you. Like, could God be doing more in your life now than He's done over the years? Could there be a freshness and a freedom for you in your thoughts or in your emotions, in the patterns of your life and the way you experience day in and day out? Could you get freedom that brings more hope? Could that be something we experience here on this earth? And my remembering brought me back to some of my earlier days in my faith formation. And my faith in Jesus was greatly impacted through experience I had as an elementary age kid. I had undeniable encounters with God when I was in elementary school. And frankly, like, you don't get to tell me that I didn't experience that. That's one of the powerful things. When you have a personal encounter with God's presence and power, sort of the ideating and the theories and who said what, it all just kind of gets to like lay at the feet of a God that met you personally. And that's what we want for our kids. And then I was in middle school and high school and I attended this summer camp, and I want to tell you this way that I began to watch God take my internal hope and move it external. So I attended summer camp and I met God powerfully in some ways at this particular camp, and it was in my teen years. I remember being there one summer, and we were in a large gym for an all-camp worship night. And this was like one of those places where it was like a gymnastics floor, so there was no comfortable seats like what you have. hundreds of kids, teen kids, all sitting like this on the floor. And we're worshiping. And we're just sitting like this, all crammed in this gym, Branson, Missouri. And God had been doing something on my insides that I just realized, God, I want some, this thing that's happening, it's like it's not supposed to just stay in here. And I found myself wanting to respond in worship. Like, God, I want to show you in my physical response what you're doing on my inside, that there's a hope that I've found in you for my eternity. There's a hope that I'm finding for my interior. But something's happening in my thoughts, in my emotions, in my spirit, in my soul, that feels like if I try to contain it, it's like I'm living less than what you have for me. And I'm in this worship thing, and I realize everybody's seated, and everything inside of me wanted to just stand and lift my hands and, like, sing out loud in a way I never had before. And I thought, Kurt, nobody is standing. That's not the cool thing to do. That's not where you want to be on this night. And I thought, if I do not stand and do this, like, something inside of me that's supposed to come alive will not. And so what I did is I sort of did this thing, and I closed my eyes so tight, and I put my hands up like this, and I sang, and I made sure nobody was looking at me because I just kept my eyes closed so tight. And we all have those moments that we realize God never wanted you to have a faith contained, but a faith that was free. A faith that became a visible external hope to a world looking and longing. And you know what happens? When you, in a room full of people that maybe stand or sit, see somebody begin to go like this, somebody else in the room is looking for hope to go, maybe I could too. Maybe something's happening inside of me and I don't really quite know how to express it, but I see somebody else expressing hope. I see somebody else living with courage. I see somebody else living with integrity and faithfulness, and they're reading their Bible and they talk about Jesus, and I need someone to show me the way. And our willingness to be a people captured by the eternal hope of Jesus, to do all the deep dive work that we could become free because our interior is being built on a firm foundation, begins to express itself outward. Because people drive by the building all the time, and the two-color brick exterior is not compelling to them. One person, yeah, it doesn't. It's not like, oh, there's the hope I'm looking for. They just drive by a building. They go, I wonder what goes on there. I wonder what that place is about. And more people than not go, oh, the Vineyard, how's that wine? I go, I don't know. It's Welch's grape juice every week. It's Welch's grape juice every week. Church, here's the deal. The hope we're looking for is meant to be lived in a way that it gets out of us and to the world. And here's how I know. We want to make more and better disciples of Jesus. And before Jesus went to the cross, this is the prayer he prays, captured by the Gospel of John, the book of John in the Bible. And I cannot cover all the things I want to cover in this. I wish we could just sit around the table because I've been sitting with this text and I've been just like, there's so much goodness. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the prayer of Jesus. And in this prayer, you're going to see hope eternal. In this prayer, you're going to see hope internal, that it's doing work inside. And you're going to see hope external. And I'm going to make like two observations, and then what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the next generation of graduates, because today is also graduate recognition. And so I'm going to leave you like going, man, that was the shortest sermon you ever preached, Kurt. Please do more of that. And two, you need to read this over and over and over again this week. Like we might find ourselves in a cool spot, but you can come read this and let Jesus speak to you. John 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. You granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life. Pay attention right here. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. In the very beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the very end, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating, redeeming, restoring all that is good and true. Hope eternal is in relationship with God, period. That's how it gets defined. Hope eternal is because God is eternal and has always been, will always be, and is always to come to anchor us in his story. Now watch where this goes. I, Jesus, have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me and they obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Relationship. For I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me, that interior of faith. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Full measure of joy within us. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Hope external. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Now that's really cool. Jesus is praying for his crew. He's praying for the people that had walked with him. He's praying for this continuation of work. And that's really neat. But pay attention to what he's about to do. Because he was thinking about this room and he was thinking about you. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Why? Why would this be the prayer Jesus prays? What does he know about our need to be defined by Jesus above all things? Then the world will know. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. His heart is that the world would know the good news of the gospel. That the eternal, faithful God has been loving us from the beginning, is loving us in the present, and has secured a love for us eternal. And there's a part for us to play. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. There is so much here. There is so much here. It's like the opening, eternal, hope, external, eternal. Then it goes external, internal, external. Then it goes internal, external, eternal. It's just all over the place. It's in us. It's through us. It's sending us. It's rescuing us. It's loving us. It's since the beginning of time. It's right now. There's need. And not that we would be pulled out of the story, but we would be protected and sent further into the story. There are people in your life right now that long for hope, and their prayer is that maybe it would pour out of the church into the world. That it would pour out of the church into the world. This is what Jesus has been praying all along. That there would be unity among people who believe in Jesus, because there is no other name higher than Jesus. There is no other claim higher than Jesus. There's no other identity or party or agenda or claim on your life than the claim of the Creator God, which means everything bows to Jesus, which is the only hope the church has to have actual unity in our day and time. But I saw it today. They gave me permission. I saw a picture today of how unity actually works in the church. Happens to be a husband and wife, one wearing a Yankees jersey, one wearing an Astros jersey. Both of them united in serving you coffee from the cafe, because at the end of the day, Jesus is above it all. And it is joy, and it is faith. And it's His glory, not ours. It's His protection, not ours. It's His truth, not ours. This is eternal life that you know the Creator God and Jesus Christ, whom He sent, that you know the Holy Spirit poured out in your life as promise to sign and seal that you are His. We must need a faith that stirs hunger so that the external realities of our lives declare hope to a world looking. Jesus expects our hope to move outward, hope external. Here's recognizable evidence in John 17. Joy. Joy. This life will give you all the reasons to not experience joy. Jesus will give you an eternal daily source for joy, because it's His. It's His joy to give to you. Isn't this awesome? Our next gen students coming in. I love it. We're almost done. I told you. God's word guiding our actions. Your word is truth. Spiritual protection in this life. We need to be aware there is a spiritual battle waging all around us all the time. And He's like, I don't want to pull you out of it. I want to protect you in it. Joy. God's word, God's protection, living sent into this world, the mission of God in this world, and complete unity. Here's the deal. I'm going to finish with this thought. A unified community is an undeniable witness for Jesus. A unified community is an undeniable witness for Jesus. A divided community is an unrecognizable witness. Here's the challenge. In our cultural moment, there is a lot of appropriate concern about the witness of the church. And it's coming from every side. That's what division does. The work of the Holy Spirit is a unifying work among believers who proclaim Jesus is Lord. How are you doing in your external hope department? How are you doing in being a person of unity? How are you doing in proclaiming Jesus is Lord above all other options? How are you doing in hope eternal? It's to know the Creator God. I think there's practical issues of division. We've allowed our witness to be hijacked by people who misrepresent Jesus. We've allowed our witness to be weakened by our personal apathy. That's the actual correct, I think, conjugation. We have allowed our witness to be weakened by an apathy. We're satisfied with what we've got. But Jesus' prayer before He goes to the cross is to call us into more. Jesus' prayer before He's crucified is, I have more for you. There's more surrender, there's more sending, there's more work through you. Amen? Okay, If Jesus prays for those who will believe, we need to be praying for those who will believe. Okay, if Jesus is praying for those who will believe, we are here today because some version of the church before us believed Jesus. They stepped into the story of Jesus. They asked for the hope of Jesus. They prayed the prayer of Jesus. We must take this seriously. And not like in a, man, Kurt, church is miserable. No, it's supposed to be full of joy. So we're people like this. Oh, Lord, I hope they're not looking at me. Woo!
All right. Here's the thing. It's meant to go from us to others. It's meant to. It's meant to be marked by joy. If your faith in Jesus is not being marked by joy, there is work Jesus wants to do. Hope interior, moving hope exterior, because he has joy for you. If you're dealing with challenges in life, he has promised his protection over you, and you need to press into that. It is about anchoring our lives in God's word, God's mission, so that the world might know there is a unified body of Christ proclaiming Jesus above all things. This is the story we're a part of making more and better disciples. We can be. Check this out. How many of you have ever asked Jesus to answer a prayer in your life? Okay, now put your hand down. How many of you knew Jesus wants you to be an answer to his prayer? That's John 17. We can be an answer to the prayer.